Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ that lies the message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Words, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I pray with you. If you have any question about the lesson, I do my best and the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call on how to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages, the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. And for those of you that don't like asking your questions over your air, giving your prayer requests, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And I will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you that's listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we are grateful once again that you have blessed us on this day and how you have given us this opportunity to come before you in Jesus' name. Dear Lord, we ask today, Father, that you would look upon us at this hour. Bless us with your presence. Bless us with revelation, knowledge of your word, and help us understand the plan and purpose and will of God. So, Father, we thank you. We magnify and we glorify you because you're worthy to be praised. We lift you up, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory. I want to open up once again today with scripture from the Word of the Lord, 54th message, the 54th time that the Lord Jesus sent his angel, the Elijah, with a message for the people of God, the extra oil that the Lord is sending from heaven to cause Christianity to all flow together. Well, let me put it more direct and more simple and specific, the faithful in Christianity to come together. Amen. And this message was sent out March the 9th, 1942. And I'm going to read what it says, the sixth verse in this message. It says, this work shall continue on, for love is the message I bring. The Church of Christ shall never again be destroyed. The evil shall not prevail against her, for she shall be adorned with a crown of 12 bright stars and garments of righteousness. Amen. Now, I want to come with a second opening scripture from the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 to verse 3, second book of Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 to verse 3. Second book of Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 to verse 3. Now, the word says, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Now, this was one of the contributing factors involved in causing the destruction of the early church. As I read to you from one of the messages from the Word of the Lord, Jesus said his church shall never again be destroyed, which he's telling us that at one point, the church that he had set up and established was destroyed. And it wasn't destroyed because Jesus' power, once again, was too weak to keep his people. It was nothing on Jesus' behalf being his fault. But there was things that contribute to the destruction of the early church. And we've been going over in this series one of them, which was evil teaching. Okay? Evil teaching. And we've been talking about one of these evil teaching that arose among around the second century and that affected the church was called Gnosticism. Gnosticism. And I want to begin reading off to you what Gnosticism is defined. Amen. And Gnosticism is looked at as being, there are those who believe that And if I can sum it up, that a divine spark is somehow trapped in some but not all humans, and it alone of all that exists in this material world is capable of redemption. Salvation is through a secret knowledge by which individuals come to know themselves, their origin, and destiny. And so in Gnosticism, there are those who believe that they have this so-called secret knowledge, and they are of those who got this secret knowledge. All humans, quote, according to them, don't get it. And they claim to have this so-called secret knowledge in this dealing with God. Now, we have been looking at this Gnosticism teaching, and we understand that with along with this so-called belief, because also Gnosticism is a belief, okay? If y'all go back to listen to parts 1, 2, and 3, I also give you a definition of it from, I think that was the World Encyclopedia view. But Gnosticism is a belief, okay? And in that belief, there are those who exercise that belief in thinking that they're the ones that got this so-called secret knowledge, okay? Now, what we have been looking at is that we look at some of the teachings of this Gnosticism, because their teachings, you know, also give you more of an idea of what they believe, okay, what they live by, what they follow. And I want you to understand that this kind of stuff had crept into the church, especially around the second century. And whether you believe it or not, some professing Christians, or supposed to be professing Christians, took a hold to this doctrine. And that's why you hear in 2 Timothy 4, what Paul told Timothy, the time will come when they would not endure sound doctrine. And it happened. There were those who did not continue. This is why he said endure sound doctrine. They did not continue in the true doctrine of Christ, but they accepted these other doctrines that led them astray and away from the Lord. Amen. So we have been looking at what one of the teachings or one of the things that the Gnosticists believe in. And I want to read that to you again as we get ready to go into the message. This is what they teach. They said the material world is bad. And I'm reading from Christianity.com from article paper that's titled Gnosticism, AD 1 through 300, Church History Timeline. And here it got that, and here's one of the beliefs it talks about concerning what they believe. They believe that the material world is bad, the spirit world is good, the material world is under the control of evil, ignorance, or nothingness. A divine spark is somehow trapped in some, but not all humans, and it alone, of all that exists in this material world, is capable of redemption. Now, I want to stop there. So they teach that the material world is bad, the spirit world is good. Now, I want to also read to you from another article entitled Gnosticism by Julian Spriggs, M.A., and on this same belief here, here's in this article said that Gnosticism grew out of this Greek dualism. The spiritual world was believed to be totally good and pure, but matter was thought of as totally evil and a source of all evil. Gnostics tend to despise the world because it was made of matter, and particularly to despise the physical human body. The body was a vile prison house which imprisoned the spirit of man, which was the seed of God and completely good. The aim in life was to release this heavenly seed from the evil physical body. This could only be achieved by receiving secret knowledge from Gnostic teachers and participating in complicated and secret rituals. Now, so they believe that the world is evil, okay? Now, in this dualism teaching, and I want to read to you what they believe in that. They said the Greek philosophers tend to have a very negative view of the physical world and of the human body. Plato taught that God was ultimate principle of form and order, but was not personal. He said that the earth was an inferior place and that God was far removed from the physical world. Therefore, the earth must have been created by a lesser spiritual being. God would be defiled if he ever came to the earth. Plato also taught that the material physical world was merely a shadow of the real spiritual world. Aristotle taught that God was so transcendent that he didn't even know that the world exists. This led to a strong dualism, making a distinction and separation of the spiritual world from the physical world. Okay, now, it goes on to say concerning the nature of God, that's what we're going to look at today concerning this. They said dualism resulted in God becoming very distant, unapproachable, and unknowable. And this is under the Gnostic teachings. God was incapable of emotion, feeling, or passion. Gnostics believe that God is pure spirit, and therefore he cannot have any contact with evil matter. And remember, I just shared with you, they believe the world is evil, okay? And the matter was evil. They go on to say, God therefore cannot be identified with the creator God of the Old Testament, okay? Instead, they taught that the physical world was created by an evil God or demiurge, identified as the God of the Jews and author of the Old Testament. Some taught that the physical world resulted from the fall of wisdom. Now, so what they believe, and this is what we've been looking at in this series here, how they talked about the material world, matter and all that, you know, things in this world, things that God created, you know, physical things, period, were evil, okay? And we have been looking at, number one, and we base this around that, in Genesis from the Bible, we are told that God created the world, okay? He created the world. He created the plants. He created all these objects, okay? And so we looked at God created this world, okay? And we know that, and this is what we're going to look at today, that we saw in Genesis that God said, you know, and when he said, let this bring forth this or that, when you read in Genesis, then you read and it says, and God saw that it was good. And so we come to understand from Genesis what we looked at, and in God's creation, God created this world, and he created it as good. Now, of course, the world doesn't look as beautified as when God first created, because what? Through sin, it's being destroyed. But as far as its original creation, it was not created evil. Okay? What all God created, what he saw, was good. Okay? Amen. And so we looked at yesterday how that, as I read to you, they believe that there were two gods. And they believe that the God of the Old Testament is the one that created this, quote, evil world. So they're saying it's two gods. So we looked at yesterday on part three where that God told us that there is nothing but one God. He is God alone, and besides him, there is no other. Now, he made that point quite clear, okay? And so you have the Gnostics coming up saying, well, the God of the Old Testament, who was an evil lesser God, created this world. Well, no, it wasn't. The true and living God that we read about in Genesis 1, where it says that God created the heaven and earth, is the same God today, okay? There is no other God sharing the throne with God, sharing that power with God, okay? Amen. Now, we're going to go into the Bible. Let's start here from, let's go into the Bible. And let's go to Book of Psalms, chapter 25. The Book of Psalms, chapter 25. Amen. Amen. The Book of Psalms, chapter 25. And what we're going to do, we're going to look at a few scriptures here that describes the nature or character of God. And see, when you look at his nature or character, then what he creates reflects off of what he is. Amen. Now, we're going to look at Psalms chapter 25. Let's look at verse 8. Psalms chapter 25, verse 8. Now look what the word of God says, okay? The first one, two, three, four, five, what? The first six words, and we didn't read no more, tells you about God. Said, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, will he teach sinners in the way. Now notice what it describes about his nature or character. Look what it describes about God. Good and upright, okay? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew. He said, a good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit. And an evil tree can't bring forth what? Good fruit. So since God in Genesis created the heaven and earth, and the things that he created on this earth, he looked at it and he said, and the Bible said he saw it was good. What it shows, what he created was of a reflection from his nature. His nature, his character is good. So he couldn't be of that nature of character, but doing works of evil. You understand that? Now, some of y'all think, well, we know about God, we know this and that, and you think it's nothing to it. But this teaching was brought into the church, and it was one of the contributing factors in the destruction of the church, where there were those, according to what Paul tells us, that did not endure sound doctrine. So that means that they had accepted teachings that was of Christ. And when you do that, it pulls you away from Jesus. See, you can't stay in Christ if you're accepting teachings that is against his word. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, some of you may think you can, but guess what? Sooner or later, you're finna leave. Amen. You're finna leave because that teaching is a part of your life. When you follow it, hey, it's going to pull you away from Christ, point blank. It's going to pull you away from Christ. Amen. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Now, this is what is described about Jesus here, and this is what's going to happen in these last days. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11, we're still looking at the nature and character of Christ. And when we understand that, we can understand why that when he created this world, this physical world, when he created this world, he didn't create no evil, okay? Because he couldn't have. Why? Because that's not of his nature, of his character. That's why you read in the Bible, say, and what God created and God saw, it was what? Good. When he said, let there be light, and light came, he saw the light was what? Good. He did not say he saw the darkness was good. He saw the light was good. Now, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him, talking about Jesus here, was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, look what he's called. He's called faithful and true. Still describing the characteristics and nature of God. Faithful and true. So let's look at him being the ultimate tree, for example. And Jesus said in the word, a good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit. So therefore, when he created this world, he had to have created it what? Good. Now, you look at this world now and how it's looking rough and messed up. That's because the sin of man has sought to destroy it. Amen. That's just like in the beginning when he created Lucifer. God didn't create Lucifer evil. Lucifer turned when he got up in sin. When he said, I'm going to be like the Most High God. When he went to exalt himself, he turned. God did not originally create him as evil. Because remember, that which comes from God is what? Good. Amen, it's good. And that which comes from God reflects of his nature and his character. So therefore, once again, Gnostics, you are wrong. The world, the things that was created in this world, the physical objects, stuff like that, they was not created evil. Okay? It was not. And as we saw from part three yesterday, there is no God, just God of the Old Testament that was an evil God creating this. That's none of that. Now, if you really was in the Word of God, Many of you will see how far-fetched that sound when somebody comes to you with stuff like that. But here's the problem. Some of the Christians, some of us as Christians, we don't even get in the Word. We don't even feed our spirit. So now our spirit is weak. And when these off-the-wall teachings that people bring up to us, which our flesh end up liking, we end up following it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We end up following it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I sense the Holy Ghost on that. Bear witness in my whole glory, in my spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. And like I said, we're looking at a few scriptures here that would tell us about God's nature and his character. And when we understand his nature and his character, that's why you can see that there is no way what the Gnostics teach is true, talking about this physical world is evil and was created evil. No, it wasn't. And was created by an evil God. No, it wasn't. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. The word says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now here, Jesus is referred to as the Holy One. He is holy. Okay? Now, whether you understand it or not, evil is opposite of holy. Okay? So, you know, if by him being holy, faithful, true, and good, you can see from the word that those descriptions of the true and living God, no evil couldn't come forth from him. Okay? Amen. He is Lord God Almighty. And remember, he told us in Malachi 3, Hebrews 13, that he is the same, which tells us that what? He doesn't change. Now, we are subject to change. We can start off good and change and do evil. But the Lord is not subject to change because his nature is plant. And in fact, if anybody's trying to get his nature, it's us. Okay? Amen. So you ain't got to worry about him changing. And so that means the works of his hands, that which come forth from him, will be what? Will be good, faithful, true, and holy. So how is it that we're listening to people come up with this stuff about an evil God created this evil physical world? How is we doing that? I tell you how, because we're not in the Word and we're not rooted. And this is what happened around the second century with the early church. And some of them, as they said, took the bull by the horn. They grabbed onto that. And like I said, any of you that's really getting in the Word, when you hear something like that, you'll be like, man, please get away from me with this stuff. And then you may look at some of your other brothers and sisters who taking hold of this, and you're going, how can y'all believe some stuff like that? What's wrong with y'all? I mean, I ain't getting it. How y'all gonna believe it? Well, see, once again, we're living in this time right now, people, that a decision has to be made. And decision is being whether you're going to get yourself rooted in the Word of God or not. See, too many of y'all are trying to do the flyby thing. You think that I'm saved, I'm just going to waltz in the air, okay, untouched, nothing happened. Oh, Jesus got everything, got my back, boom. And you think that there's no challenges. You don't think, in fact, you think that you don't have to do a thing. Well, I'm here to tell you, in your underestimation, watch. Because Satan has power. He doesn't have more power than God, but he has power. And if you ain't rooted in that which is of the Lord, I'm going to tell you, like I told somebody at one point earlier, you would be surprised at your own self, the stuff that you would do. Because remember, to keep our spirit strong with the Holy Ghost in it, we got to feed it. To keep your physical body strong, you got to feed it, people. You can't go just talking about you going every day. And, you know we can go longer without food than we can water. But how is it that you will say, I'm just going to live off water? Well, what's going to happen? Go die. because you're going to die from malnutrition. Because all you want to drink is water, okay? Amen. And deny the food? No. But see, that's what some are doing today. They deny the food of the word, and they're not rooted. And then when these off-the-wall teachers approach them, you would think, okay, now I know that that's a no-brainer. They're going to reject that. But now the next thing you know, you hear them repeating it like they accepted it. I want to go into the Record of Nephi, another one of God's books here. I want to read to you a record of God's dealing with the Nephites, who were the people of God over here on this continent. During the prehistoric time, they were of the house of Joseph, which was of the house of Israel, and led over here. And God dealt with them by giving his commandments, judgments, and statutes. And God had them to keep a record of what went on over here, and God's dealing with them, just like you know the Bible, okay? And so in one of the books of the Record of Nephi called the Book of Moroni, chapter 7, I want to read to you here a couple verses here along the lines of the subject we're talking about. And this is what it says. It said, wherefore all things which are good, and hear that, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. Okay? But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is what? Inspired of God. Okay? Because what is it revealing? It's revealing the nature and character of God. Let me go two verses up before that. Listen to what he said. He said, for behold, a bitter fountain cannot bring forth good water. Why? They're two opposites. They're two opposites. Neither can a good fountain bring forth bitter water. Wherefore, a man being a servant of the devil cannot follow Christ. And if he follow Christ, he cannot be the servant of the devil. You get that? Do you hear that? So since we've been looking at character and nature of God as holy, true, and good, then that which comes forth from him has to be good. I mean, if he, which he is in the word, being good and holy and true, then that means that which comes forth from him has to be the same thing. This is why some of you in your prayers, when you're asking God about particular things that is not right, and you're talking about God told you, okay, go ahead and do it, this is why I can say that no, the true and living God didn't tell you that. The devil may have told you that, but the true and living God did not tell you that. Why? Because of his nature and his character, okay? The nature and character of God is what? It's holy. It's true. It's honest. It's just. And whatever comes from the work of his hands and through his creative power is going to be the same. Wow. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. We're just up here just, you know, going away and just accepting these things that is not of God, these teachings, these off-the-wall evil teachings that is not of God, and it's leading us away from Jesus. And then we're wondering, what happened, Lord? I don't know. What happened? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Now, another scripture from the Record of Nephi. This is the book of Alma, chapter 5, verse 13, from the Record of Nephi. Hallelujah. I want you to hear what we're told from Alma. The word said, and behold, he preached the word unto your fathers, and a mighty change was also wrought in their hearts. And they humbled themselves and put their trust in the true and living God. And behold, they were faithful unto the end, therefore they were saved. Here, God is described as true. Okay? Listen, think about it. When you're dealing with somebody that's untrue, what you think going to come forth from you? If a man is untrue to his wife, then what do you think his worst going to be in dealing with his marriage? If he's untrue to his wife, yeah, he'll go out, sleep with another woman or fool around this and that. If he's untrue, go out there and wink his eyes and flirt with other women. If he's untrue, that's what's going to come from. You understand that? And so the Lord is described as a true God. His nature of character is described. So therefore, remember, he said a bitter fountain can't bring forth good water. You get that. It can't do that. So when we sit up here, listen, and understand this, narcissism, that stuff's still going around today, people. And some believers is still holding on to that stuff. Like it's the grade A number one thing. Now, I ask unto those of you who's listening who says, well, yeah, Brother Nate, but the Lord tells us to love all men. He does. And I agree with you 100%. But if you're going to throw along the lines in there saying that love is also dealing with you tolerating sin or abomination or teachings that really disrespect our Lord Jesus Christ, then you have missed the whole boat, the airplane, and the train for which you're supposed to travel. Okay? You've missed it. You know how you got a plane ticket and you got to the airport too late? You missed the flight. You understand that? You're missing the whole thing. Love of God does not mean you accept abomination, iniquity, wickedness, nor does it mean you accept teachings that is contrary to the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It don't mean that you accept doctrines that disrespect Jesus, that puts down his deity, okay, that puts down his power, that messes with his nature or character. You don't tolerate that teachings, okay? Some of us as Christians, as you heard the phrase before, we don't have a backbone. Yeah, well, I mean, these sinners are got their chest poked out. They got the fierce look on their face. And they coming at you with the what if. And the what. And what some of us is doing is that our knees are knocking together so hard because we are afraid to even stand. It is not just pitiful, but it is ridiculous. Okay? Straight up, 100% ridiculous. And it seems like when it comes to really standing on the word of God, that the majority of us are absent. And what's happened among the majority, some of us end up going over to these other religions. In other words, we end up accepting it. But at the same time, to call yourself covering yourself, you're like, well, you know, I still believe in Jesus. You know, just like I would hear about some people who walked away from this work of the Lord and dealing with the sinning of Elijah. And the first thing they said, well, I still believe in the Lord sending his angel. See, that's a cover up to say that, hey, I know I stepped out of place, but I'm still good because I still believe. This is high time and very serious, okay? Very, very serious. And this is not no game. We live in a time now where that you're going to be, if you haven't yet, it's finna get tight, people. It's finna tighten up. The Lord been dealing with me about this over the past few months. You're going to be challenged in a greater way concerning your faith in Christ. Now, some of you may run up and jump up and say, well, you know, Brother Nate, I've already been through. God has taken me through. And I heard all that, but guess what? It ain't over. It's not over. Okay? Thank God that he brought you through one trial. But see, the next trial is greater. See, just like you got different levels of good, you have different levels also of evil and of other things, okay? So just like you got great faith, you can have greater faith. And just like you came through a great trial, you could face a greater trial, okay? So let's not act like because you did go through something, you came through it, like that's it, poof, kapoof, that's the end of it. No, it's not. Because number one, Christ ain't came back yet, okay? So Christ ain't came back yet, there's still room for more tests, okay? You know, when you went to school, if you just took one test and you sit up there and thought because you took that test, that's it. Oh, you made 100. If you think that's the only test you're going to have for the year, think again. And it's amazing how some people think that. So when you tell them about your faith is going to be challenged in a greater way, They're frowning, and then they got this quick response, like telling you, I've been through, and God brought me, and I'm been through. Well, you know, praise the Lord. He brought you through. But guess what? Christ ain't came back yet. Translation, more room for more tests. You get that? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go into third and final book today of God's Word, which is the Word of the Lord. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God. I want to read a verse from what is called the 70th message, message 70. Message 70. The Lord sent it out August the 20th, 1947. So in your private prayer time, you can ask the Lord, say, Lord, did you send your angel with a message August the 20th, 1947? Now, I want to read to you what he says here. He said, let the assured way of the Lord be your way, for I bring peace and a way of deliverance. Now, listen to this. He says, I speak the Lord's words, for his ways are just. I proclaim the midnight cry, I bring peace, that it remain among you in your gatherings and in your home. Now, notice he said, I speak the Lord's words, for his ways are just. Amen. Now, if the angel would have said his ways is unjust, then, hey, it would support what the Gnostics teach about an evil God creating this world. But once again, we're given the nature and character of God. His ways are just, okay? And so when his ways are being just, then therefore, that which comes from him has to be what? Just. It's not going to be evil. Do you hear me? Once again, the Gnostics, you're dead wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I want to read another verse from what is called the 91st message. The 91st message. Jesus sent this out July the 15th, 1972. July the 15th, 1972. So there's your date. So when you pray, you can look and say, Lord, did you send an angel out? July the 15th, 1972. Now look what he said. He said, God worketh not in subtle matters. Now that's wicked, crafty, evil matters. He said, nor in evil ways, nor in delusions as such as Satan and man do. So Satan, whose nature is fallen, man, who, when not converted, is in the same nature as Satan, God said that man is subject to work in subtle or evil ways. In fact, a Christian, if he chooses, can work in that subtle manner and evil manner as well. but not God. He let you know straight out, God don't work in them kind of matters. He don't work in that crafty, you know, deceiving, you know, cunning type of manner with evil ways. He don't work in that way, okay? And this is why he had the angel say, God doesn't work in that way, such as Satan and man do. Why? Because Satan, his nature is fallen and sinful, and man, whose nature is the same, the nature of Satan, and if he's a Christian, he can choose to operate in that nature if he wants to. He's subject to operating in that nature, will operate in evil, crafty manners, but not God. So we see that God does not work in that manner. Why? Because that's not of his nature, of his character. I hope you understand what I'm telling, what I'm relaying to you guys, because once again, this kind of teachings came and was brought to the church, and there were some that accepted. And this contribute to the destruction of the early church. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Now, I want to read another verse from the 31st message, October the 4th, 1937. There go another date at you, people. So when you go on your private prayer time, you got another date. Say, Lord, October the 4th, 1937. Did you send an angel with a message? Amen. Now, I'm going to read what is called the ninth verse in this 31st message. And this is what the Lord says. He says, ye that name my name, give thanks unto your master. In so doing, I will bless you that you will be a blessing and bless others. Let my spirit rule your lives. Be ye long-suffering. Be not a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Be filled with charity and let peace rule your minds and your lives. The fire of joy shall burn within you. Yea, the Lord will walk and talk with those that keep his law in fullness. Seek not the praise of men. Be not heady or high-minded. Seek to do good. Now listen to this last line. A good tree cannot bear corrupt fruit, nor a corrupt tree good fruit. So we've been seeing from the Bible and the record of Nephi and all that, that God is good. And that if you want to look at him as a tree per se, you would say he is the greatest tree. Well, what comes from him is going to be good. He described as just and holy. Well, what's going to come from him? Just holiness. So, once again, we must understand that what the Gnosis teaching is ungodly. It is not of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. But see, this kind of teaching got some of the Christians during the time of the early church, especially in the second century. Amen. And see, this teaching is still around today. Amen. Some of you think you don't have to be rooted in the word. You don't have to study. And one of the reasons why, because you're dependent on your own power. Well, like I said before, you're going to find out something about that. Because you're going to find out that your own power will not be able to sustain you, especially when the enemy is coming with his. You understand what I'm saying? It's not going to get you old. See, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4, the word of God is quick and what? Powerful. So it's just more than some mere words you see written in a book. The true living word of God is power. It has power. Okay? Like I said, it ain't just no words written in a book. It ain't just that. It has power. Okay? And so if you are not steady feeding on that power, what do you think going to happen? And so you're trying to go on your own power, your own strength. Well, you're going to get embarrassed. Amen. You are literally getting ready to be embarrassed. Amen. Hallelujah. And I think that some of us as believers, we just ain't got that through our head yet, okay? We just ain't got it. We seem to think that we can handle this on our own, with our own power. You can't do that. You're not gonna whoop with your own power. You're not gonna whoop the devil. Period. You're not gonna whoop him because he's more of a fallen spiritual being. He has power. Okay. Amen. You're not gonna beat him on your own. I don't care if you were the smartest man on this face of this earth. You're not going to beat him with your own power. That's why you got to have the power from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory and honor and praise go to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. People, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. He is God. There is none greater than our Lord. Nobody. Okay. And see, we're looking at this teaching on narcissism because, and this is the other thing, too many of us, we don't examine stuff. I'm talking about Christians. I ain't talking about just anybody. I'm talking about Christians. We don't examine stuff. We might sit there and listen to people tell us, and then we try to judge by our own judgment and say, well, you know, that sounds about right. I think they right. Now, we ain't talking about searching nothing up by scripture. And so many of us stick with that, that it sound right. Well, it sound right. It sound like it, you know. I mean, hey, that's the kind of thinking that we take on. And we are a prime candidate for deception. And so some in the early church around the second century, it got some of them. Now, Lord said the same in our next part of our series. We're going to talk about some of those who brought this kind of teaching towards the Christians. Okay, we're going to talk about that. But what I'm saying is this narcissism, it captures some of the people. Some of the people, I mean, who should have been in the Word, here goes some people coming in with this kind of junk right here, and they go, oh, well, you know, that may be right. I think they're right. You know, sometimes some people follow other people because they just like them. Okay, I ain't talking about liking all the time to want to go with them per se, but just like them. And so whatever they say, if they say the world is flat, they'll go, oh, it must be flat because they said it, you know. Listen. We have to train ourselves to be more diligent in searching the Word. Now, some of you listening to this may have already ignored what I said because you carry the mentality of that, long as I'm in the Lord, I'm good. I'm going to be taken care of. Well, you're going to find out why God tells in the scriptures and talking about being rooted. You're going to find that out. See, some of y'all, I don't know, you thought that God just, I don't know, had people writing that because it was nothing else. The paper needed to be filled up or something. Some of you carry that mentality, but you're going to find out. Amen. Think about it. Some of you just listen. Have you ever, God ever told you something? Now, you knew it was God. And God told you something, and what he told you, you was thinking like, man, I don't know. That just don't seem like me. That make no sense doing that. And you didn't do it. And when something came up, you thought about that thing, and you said, now I see why the Lord told me that. I bet you many of you right now, I can't see you, will probably throw your hands up right now and say, yeah, I've been guilty of that. Well, guess what? I can throw my hands up Because I've been guilty of that too, okay? But see, what we got to understand is that the Lord don't just speak stuff in vain. He's not one to occupy space for no reason, okay? If God, if you had a whole thick notebook of nothing on the pages, and God told you, say, I want you to go buy this notebook from the store. And you go, okay. So you driving home thinking, okay, God told me to buy this notebook. For what? I just don't see no reason for this. I mean, I don't, what I need a notebook for? But then when God started dealing with you, you start seeing, okay, I got to write this stuff down. He has a purpose, people. He has a purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that you have blessed us again this day. And Father, we lift you up. We magnify you. We glorify you because you're worthy to be praised. Father, I pray that everyone that was listening to this broadcast was blessed. And I pray that this word will go out over to the nations of the earth. In Jesus' almighty name, I pray. And Father, I thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for the blessed word of God today. Don't forget, later on tonight at 7 p.m., Brother Eddie Lee will be back with the full gospel hour with our brother Eddie Lee at 7 p.m. tonight. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Eliza Message on a broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.